Hey, Faith Bible Church family. This is Brian Sayers, Pastor of Counseling and Equipping here at Faith Bible Church. And I wanted to remind you that we have upcoming the Transform Conference this year with Dr. Owen Strahan from Midwestern Baptist Seminary. He's going to teach us on manhood, womanhood, and gender confusion. I can almost guarantee as you're raising your children, you're going to get questions about gender and sexuality. And he's going to help bring a lot of clarity to those pretty difficult and confusing topics. So that's coming up on February 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday. And you can register online at transformconference.org. We have registration for both in-person and online viewing. So go to transformconference.org. Early bird pricing ends after Sunday, February 7th. So it goes all the way through Sunday. So get in on your registration before the end of the weekend.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hello, this is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible. My name is Paul Funchess, pastor of Family Ministries, and I am here at my house with my lovely wife, Christy.
Hello,
Christy.
Good
to see you.
Good to see you too.
Here on Wednesday evening at our dining room table, and we have just finished the day, and it's time to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here doing the podcast. So how was your day, babe?
It was good.
Good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Full.
Yeah, it was busy today.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Hope to membership class tonight. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So she mm-hmm. just finished her third week of membership class, and you got 1 week left. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty neat to do that. And it's been a good end to the day.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to do a podcast. We're excited mm-hmm. about that.
Yes.
So Seth has told me, babe, that we don't sound excited enough.
Oh, no.
Here at the house.
Aww.
So he said we start out excited, and then as we go, we just kind of get less and less and less and less and less all the way to the end.
Uh-oh.
So we've got to like keep it up. We got to keep the momentum.
Okay.
You know,
we'll have full on cheerleader by the end.
Jumping jacks or something. So we're going to be talking, so we thought Valentine's Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do a podcast on love? Love. And we actually don't really celebrate Valentine's Day, do we? I mean, we kind of do.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I think I make a bigger deal about it for the kids mm-hmm. and usually buy them stuff for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I like buying my girly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't buy your girl stuff, you know, without buying the boys something.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to do that. But we want to love each other all year round.
Yes.
Not on Valentine's Day.
Well, including
Valentine's Day. We thought we'll do a podcast about love.
Sounds great.
And because we're kind of, good at this whole question asking thing.
Oh,
we thought we would just ask questions about love.
Sounds good.
Is that all right?
That's great.
All about love. All about love. So who's going to go first?
You are.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Well, let's start with this. This is not a question.
Okay.
This doesn't count as a question. When you think about passages on love in scripture, okay, where do you mm-hmm. go to talk about or to think about love and what love is and how love is produced in us and how to define love even? What passages stick out in your mind? I'm not asking you to give me all of them. There are a lot of them.
Yeah.
Passages stick out to you?
My answer, this is super general, are the Johns. First John is what comes to mind.
Yeah.
First John.
We love him because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. That's First John. And if we don't
all the
love,
implications of that.
Yeah, all the implications of that. If we don't love,
mm-hmm.
that indicates that we that we have not been loved.
Right.
In other words, we haven't seen his love for us,
mm-hmm.
which what I'm saying is we're not born again.
Yeah. That's what First John says.
Yeah. It's such important because if I'm not loving, mm-hmm. This is what Jesus says. If I'm his disciple, I'm going to be known mm-hmm. by my love mm-hmm. for the other disciples. I'm mm-hmm. going to be known by my love. And so if I'm not loving, if I'm not, and none of us love perfectly. Mm-mm. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-mm. We all, and every one of us knows how hard it is to love.
Oh, so imperfect.
Yeah. But if we're not actively seeking to love and seeking to grow in love, mm-hmm. then that's a really good indication that we need to look at our identity. Are we in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody comes to you and says, you know, what you're doing is not loving,
mm-hmm.
that should be cause for you to repent.
Right.
Immediately.
Should be a huge red flag.
Yes. Well, if I'm not loving and somebody says, hey, what you're doing is not loving, I should want to repent right
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't want to, if I say, no, I'm going to keep doing what I want, I'm going to act selfishly,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to act unloving and continue in that,
mm-hmm.
that's a good reason to question whether you are born again.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy. It's not really all that complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other passages? Sorry.
I think, no, that's good. John, obviously a lot of John. I tend to think of John 17.
John 17, man. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. What about for you?
John 17 was the one I was first thinking. Well, John 13, 14, John 17, really all the way through there, it talks about love and the importance mm-hmm. of love and the Trinitarian reality that we've been brought into again.
Mm-hmm.
And what was I was looking at that actually just a minute ago. He says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. Listen to this. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them.
It's staggering.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So he's making known. The Son is making known the Father. And he says, I'm going to continue to make you known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them.
Mm-hmm.
So making the Father known, which it seems to indicate that produces this love
mm-hmm.
when Christ makes the Father known. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something we could never do on our own or work up.
Right. Obviously, 1 Corinthians is a passage that we've talked about mm-hmm. in Family Hour recently.
Oh, right.
About love.
I loved that lesson.
And there we made the point that love is not a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's mm-hmm. It's an action. It's a way, you know, to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a feeling,
mm-hmm.
which our world has kind of built that in
mm-hmm.
to our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But why is that important to make that distinction, do you think?
Well, because feelings come and go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And it totally reduces love to something that is temporary and to something that's transitory, is something that really is actually rooted in the object, not in the giver.
Yeah.
And that's just not God's love at all.
Right.
It's a complete reversal.
Mm. Yeah. And so the Christian love, true love, God-given love, love that comes from God, is really countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and we as Christians, we're called to be non-conformists. We are loving in a way that the world can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately is, and you've heard this other places, I'm sure it's not something new to anybody's listening maybe, but, just this realization that, Christian life is all about death.
Mm.
It's death, which leads to life.
Mm-hmm.
The way to life is through death.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way to love is not by loving yourself more.
Mm.
It's not by preserving yourself that you actually die. When I think about loving you, if I want to love you well, which is, it's countercultural. Like I think, mm-hmm. I've got to preserve myself. But if I think about loving you, I've got to die to self.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's life. Like there's love there to give to you,
mm-hmm.
once I've died to self.
Mm-hmm.
But if I refuse to die to self, if I have tried to hold on to my love for myself and then I try to love you, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work that way.
We're always trying to do the both and.
Yeah. And Ephesians 5 kind of hints at this, or it kind of spells this out. Like, if I die to self and love you,
mm.
if I love you like Christ has loved us,
mm-hmm.
that is loving me.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm saying. It's counterintuitive,
but yeah.
it's loving you will in turn be what's best for me.
Yeah. Which is so amazing.
Yeah.
When you experience that, and can be within marriage or within the context of the church, but there is a totally supernatural element to that.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
So there's a lot of other passages we can mm-hmm. talk about for love. But we want to ask questions. So I get to ask you a question first,
okay.
about love. Okay. How do you need to grow? I'm trying to keep the energy level up. How do you need to grow in love in the church?
Oh, that's so good.
How do you need to grow in love in the church?
That is so good. And in a lot of ways, I will be more specific.
Bare your heart, honey.
Yeah. Lay it out there. And I've actually been thinking about that a lot in the last few months.
Hmm.
I think I've heard several of you guys say this from the pulpit, and it's just absolutely true. And it's a little more clear right now because people are so divided, or it seems like opinions are a lot more well known right now on divisive issues. But I really right. need to grow in loving people who think differently than me about things that are not important eternally.
Well, yeah, it's not that they're not important on some level.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't care about them,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. But it's not, they're not on the same level that Christ is.
Yeah.
And so I actually heard, I'm cutting in, but I heard this today, a quote. It said, I'm forgetting it now, but it said, it's okay for Christians to disagree about things.
Right.
It's okay for you to have a different opinion than me.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
And even and a we can fiery and debate.
To be in the church, same church,
yes.
and to have different opinions. But so you can disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't give up
mm-hmm.
is love for one another.
Right. And that true right. love that you were just talking about.
Right.
So, okay. What I was going to say was, yeah, these things that might be important, but then and this is, in my opinion, one of the reasons the ordinances are so important. So you look at the death of Christ mm. every week, and are you willing to say, yeah, but this opinion is more important than that, because that is what paid for our unity. That's what
yeah.
paid. And that was the love that were loved with, that we're supposed to be loving each other with. And so every week, I mean, you're thinking, yeah, no, I have to love. Like, that's more important. And it just levels you, but you still need it. Every,
sermon,
I mean, well,
good.
I mean, you asked, so.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah, just thinking, how can I just actively, and obviously, some of us, you know, you can be kind, maybe, if you're actually interacting with them. But for me, it's more like your thoughts. Like, it's still my call to esteem others more highly than myself.
Mm.
So anyways, okay, that's one way, loving people
in your thoughts and in yeah. and when you're disagreeing with
right
people
and because about things, of yeah. yeah differences over maybe divisive issues. I think another thing is, and this goes towards the action part, like how can I be more active in loving people and communicating that to them, like talking to them, you know, purposely if you see them, or texting them, or for that matter, maybe in private, like praying for them more earnestly. I think that those are all ways that I need to be growing in and I want to be working at, because that is love for the brothers, right?
Yeah.
We can say we love them, but that love should have some sort of arms and legs
yeah.
to it. And so if I'm going through the week and that's not happening, or it's like, man, I always think about that, but I never actually do that. I need to grow in that. Like whatever, if you need to write it down or set aside a time to pray. I mean, I'm just saying there's practical things, I think, to ask yourself, am I growing in active love for those in my church body?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, needing to grow in those, wanting to grow.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be a good question for all of us is, am I looking to get something from the church or am I focused more on what I'm giving and specifically in how I am loving the church that I have committed myself to?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to preach on that. That's a, that's a great, great answer. All right, your turn.
Okay. Here's my first question. What are ways that you can use to grow in Christ-like love for your spouse? And I said Christ-like because I'm not necessarily looking for like the, oh, this will help you love your spouse more, but the true, like we're talking about, the true Christ-like active love that reflects God's love.
I think I understand your question.
So yeah, so I'm saying like, I want to grow in loving you, or you hear a husband or a wife say, I've just realized I need to grow in love for my spouse. What are your
Yeah, this sounds thoughts? Really so Sunday school, but God's word. It is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I am feasting or when I am meditating on God's word, like we just read John 17, you can't look at what John 17 is saying and not be overcome with a desire to love this way.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider what God has done, what Christ has done, and that's where your eyes are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm sitting at a counseling table with somebody and saying to them, you know, you need to grow in love for your wife, or you need to grow in love for your husband. Again, what we do comes from what we want, and what we want comes from what we believe, and what we believe comes from what we worship. So it's not just about changing your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't change your actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, I can sit and tell a guy, you need to start doing this, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to take the trash out every day for your wife this week or whatever. You know, she's usually saying, hey, these are things I need you to do. And he's not doing these things. And so you say, here, I want you to do these things. But for transformation, for actual transformation and for true change to occur, you've got to go back to what is it that you're worshiping?
Mm.
What is it that you're believing? What is it that you're thinking? What is it you're believing? And that changes with the word of God, looking at putting your eyes on what the truth is concerning God and his son and what he has done, what he has made us a part of, how he has worked his salvation, his redemption. I was reading through Ephesians 1 today for a sermon I'm preparing to preach somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But just walking through Ephesians 1, of course, I've mentioned that before, but Ephesians 1 is so powerful because it talks about all that has been done, all the spiritual blessings given to us in Christ, and the identity that we have been given in Christ, the relationship, the reality of what we have in Christ, mm-hmm. that he's accomplished. And I could go on and on about that, but you need to be feasting on God's word. And so your Bible studies you do in growth group, or the sermons that you hear, or the podcasts that you hear, or the, you know, whatever it is that you're doing mm-hmm. to put God's word into mm-hmm. your mind and heart, mm-hmm. you can't just listen to that and walk away. If you're reading your Bible every day because you think that that's what you're supposed to do as a good Christian, but you're not, it's not changing you, mm-hmm. then something's wrong.
I agree. Okay,
something's broken with that. Mm-hmm. You're doing it maybe because you think you need to do this, but you're not actually seeing the truth of who Christ is and what Christ has done, the person of Christ, mm. The gospel of Christ. You're not seeing that. You're not putting your eyes on it. So I would say the continual ongoing looking to God's word, and then you have the other means, the people of God. You know, it's really convicting and helpful and instructional when I see other people loving the way mm. love should be done.
That's so true.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm not with people, how am I seeing that?
Yeah.
You know, Dan Jarms, he loves people. Mm-hmm. You know, Nathan Theory, he loves people. Now, I'm not Dan Jarms and I'm not Nathan Theory, and they're not me. We're different and we don't agree about everything all the time, but those guys love people. Mm. And so when I look at them, I'm like, I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. I want to love that way. Mm-hmm. And all the pastors, I can, all those guys, yeah. they love people. Mm-hmm. And each one of them helps me in a unique way. They model for me what it looks like to love. And so you have to be in those relationships mm-hmm. with God's people mm-hmm. because that's where we see it. We see, oh, that's what that looks like.
Right.
If you're a husband and you don't know how to, you know, practically, you're like, I'm not really sure. Well, you need to be in God's word and actively trying to see Jesus and what he's done and his love for us mm-hmm. will produce a love in us. Mm-hmm. And then you need to be putting yourself around like men who you think love their wives well. Mm-hmm. If there's a guy that you think loves his wife well, put yourself in his life mm-hmm. and ask him, how can I love my wife better? You know? And that's a humbling thing, mm. but like all of us, if I have a guy says, well, I'm not really loving my wife the way I should. I'm like, yeah, join the club. I've not met one guy who could say, I love my wife the way I should all the time. Not one.
Right.
Okay. So we're all in the same boat with
yeah.
that. We're all the same.
And ultimately it's about getting to Jesus and being like him. So it is a group.
It is all of us together in this. And that's, you know, I when I see a guy trying to hide and be not being, I'm like, dude, what is your issue? Like, mm-hmm. seriously, come on. We know we all struggle with love towards our wives mm. and loving her the way we should. We all need to grow in this. Stop being proud. Mm. Stop being proud. Stop being self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. Stop being, you know, independent. That's not what the Christian life should be. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just say this really quickly, prayer over God's word. So using mm-hmm. God's word as we pray is helpful because that's instructing us, you know, as I'm praying through, you know, a passage talking about love, and I'm praying through and I'm asking God, this is what I want. This is what I need from you is this type of love. Instead of looking to get something from my wife, mm-hmm. I want to be loving my wife. And so I'm going to be praying God's words back to him. Mm-hmm. And that's helping my mind. It's again, reinforcing my thoughts, right beliefs, which will then in turn create right motivations mm-hmm. and then produce, eventually right actions.
Yeah. I love that because all of those answers take faith that what God has said he will do, he will do.
Yeah.
And that he has provided the means
yeah.
for us to obey him. And all of those things take time. None of that is an immediate
right.
quick fix.
Yeah. Patience.
Yeah.
Patience. Mm-hmm. Patience and like you said, faith.
Trusting in God.
Believe what God has said. And he's commanded us to love. It's mm-hmm. not optional.
Mm-hmm.
He's commanded you to love your wife. He's commanded you to love others. And so it's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's your turn.
Oh, it's my, that's right. That's, we're asking each other questions. I got lost there for a second. I'm sorry. I got wound up. Okay. Sometimes I do that. I don't, did you know that, honey? That sometimes I get.
What?
Yeah, I do. I get wound up sometimes. I'm silly. In what ways do you think we do a good job of cultivating love for one another in our home?
Oh my goodness.
Is that a hard question?
It is.
I'm not asking you to brag. I'm just saying, what ways do you think we practically cultivate love for one another in our home?
Well, always starts from the top down. When dad's loving mom, everything in the house goes better.
I told you to do something positive.
No, that is positive. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's pretty big. Ooh, let's see.
No, I mean, seriously, that's where it starts.
Yeah, to bring it all the way down to the lowest level, I think nipping unkindness and lack of sibling love and nipping it as soon as we see it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, sometimes pretty harshly. Like, I think my kids would tell you I'm probably the harshest about kind of their sins against each other, lack of love and unkindness. Maybe that's, I don't know, but I think that it can be, right? The family can be a training ground for hopefully believing adults being a part of a church, you know, in a generation or so. So I think that's legit. I think that affection, physical affection is huge. Tenderness. Even just simple things like greetings, hugs in the morning. I mean, all of that to some extent does flow out of this love that we've been loved with. And I want the kids to know, even from the first interaction in the morning till the last one before they go to bed, you know, that they are loved. I think you do a really good job talking about repenting and confessing and even modeling that. And I think that's hugely loving and giving the kids an example where when they have not been loving, they know what it looks like to repent.
Yeah.
And then to get back in fellowship and begin loving again.
Yeah. I think what you said about the marriage is so important. Like, the love of a husband for his wife and the way, you know, that they live in love with one another sets a tone.
Yeah.
I think this is a practical thing, but I think the fact that you have all the kids participate in household chores in some type of order and with orderly, it kind of this idea that all of us need each other to kind of pick up their end of the bargain. Like, when you don't do your job, it affects and impacts everyone. And when you fail, you're going to feel that the community that is our home will feel that.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, taking care of stuff or doing your work is loving to your family. Yep. So yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I would have
put it that way.
But yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about love is an action, right?
Well, and I think this is going to maybe be offensive to somebody, but I just think that, I mean, we watch movies and we watch things online or whatever, you know, we don't have, you know, different things prominently displayed like videos and stuff like that, but we just don't do very much of that. And I think that's good. I think that's good because what is that? That's entertainment and it allows each one of us to kind of be individuals, right? And even if we're sitting watching something together, we're kind of individually being entertained. And when we do, instead, when we do something like read together or spend time in the evening playing a game together or doing something more that's, you know, together and not so much entertainment all the time. It's not that we don't do that. So I don't want people to hear that we don't.
Oh, right. Because we totally do.
But that's, you know, really helpful. And you see, and you begin to see when people are not doing well together. And we understand. I mean, our kids are not regenerate, not all of them. We have a few that we think might be. We have a few that we know aren't. You know, we have a couple maybe in the middle that we're not sure about. But but we want to cultivate a love for one another. And it really, when you try to do that, then it's like you see where people are at. It gives you a good measuring stick for somebody's true conversion or not. Right? Because you've established this and you see when somebody really, you know, is it, it's impossible for them to love others. They're so selfish.
Lots of opportunities.
Anyway, we can move on to the next question. If it wasn't a very good question, we can
move on. I think it's a really good question. It's probably one of those ones that I'll have better answers for.
I thought your answers were good, honey. Pat yourself on the back.
That would be weird. We're not all about the self-love.
It's your turn. It's your turn.
Okay. All right. I think this is the best question I have. So let's get ready.
All right. It's about all love.
Keeping up the energy. Okay.
All right. Keeping up.
How do you know with love when it should cover a multitude of sins or when love should like confront or stand in the way? You know what I mean? Have you ever wondered about that? Of course you have.
Ask the question again. Kind of
refer.
I want to make sure I understand what you're asking.
So, with love.
This is just my stall tactic, actually. Go ahead and rephrase it.
With love.
Okay. Got that.
How do you know and how do you gauge when that love should cover a multitude of sins? Be
gracious.
Quick to forgive. Slow to speak.
Merciful. All of,
Or when is it time and truly loving to speak up or to confront or to stand in the way? Does that make sense? So, I mean, this can apply to anything. It can be marriage, kids, friendships, the church.
We are all broken and fallen people by nature. We're always, you know, there's all types of, you know, behaviors and actions and patterns and things like that, that, you know, if I called out every single thing I ever saw in somebody's life, if I called out every single, you know, well, let me put it this way. We're not called to be the police.
We're not
trying to be like the behavior police for people.
Like, oh, I can show you a chapter and verse where that's wrong.
So, to me, you know, I mentioned Dan Jarms again. Dan Jarms and I were talking the other day, and we had had a meeting, and there were several guys in the meeting, right? And I could tell that things were tense, right? And if I really wanted to, I could probably go around and say, okay, that was sinful response. That was sinful response. Okay, my response was sinful response, and we all have that.
Yeah.
But in that moment, you're like, you know, we're all mature believers, or at least we're seeking. And if there was something we really needed to call out, we would. We're constantly repenting.
Constantly.
So there's, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to some of these guys. Okay. He knows that what he said, just said was a little tense or whatever. So you're constantly repenting, constantly acknowledging, constantly doing that. If I feel like I need to admit that to somebody, you know, if I've sinned against somebody, I need to go and say, you know what I said yesterday was really too harsh, or I wasn't listening or whatever. And I wasn't really loving you. I need to repent of that. If I see a pattern in somebody's life, and that's really the issue. Like if I see a pattern of this type of behavior, and it doesn't seem like there's repentance going on. Like this is a pattern that has established itself and is something that needs to be addressed. Because either they don't see it, and they're blind to it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they do see it. Maybe somebody's brought it up, but they've not really, you know, repented and mm-hmm. moved and grown. Mm-hmm. Then it needs to be something that I go and, you know, if I feel someone has sinned against me and wronged me, mm-hmm. then I need to, you know, go to them and, you know, say, this is how I feel you have treated me and I wanted to bring it to your attention. That's Matthew 18. Mm-hmm. But again, a good illustration, church potlucks, you know, potlucks, especially when we were in churches where that was happening all the time, you know, like every month there would be a potluck, right. Or every 6 weeks there was a potluck. Mm-hmm. Potlucks were like the place where so much sin happened
because
you get in the kitchen and, you know, this lady's mad at that lady and that's,
don't
you know,
everybody's like,
I just stayed out of the kitchen.
I know.
But you know, but there would be a lady or there would be somebody that's, mm-hmm. you know, this is pattern of being, right. of being rude or being short and being mean. And they're not changing. They're not mm-hmm. growing. They're not mm-hmm. like, you know, I need to speak up. I need mm-hmm. to say, listen, this is a pattern I've seen and I'm concerned. Now with that, you're always taking Matthew 7 with you, right? You're always taking Matthew 7 and saying, before I talk to somebody, I need to look at myself. The telephone pole that's in my own eye needs to be looked at and mm-hmm. repented of and mm-hmm. confessed and repented of before I go to take the speck out of my brother's eye or my mm-hmm. sister's eye. Matthew 7 needs to be right in our hip pocket all the time, like mm-hmm. constantly mm-hmm. assessing our motives. And I can tell my motives, like if I'm angry mm-hmm. and I'm really motivated more by my self-righteousness or mm-hmm. by my interests, mm-hmm. then I'm not ready to talk to that person. Mm-hmm. If what I'm motivated by is truly, if I'm truly broken for this person or truly, you know, concerned for God's glory mm-hmm. and God's testimony mm-hmm. in the church, mm-hmm. like when I'm thinking about that lady who's got a pattern of being really mean to people during mm-hmm. potlucks, like that's a bad representation of who God is. That's a bad representation. And I don't want God's name, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. That's a good motivation mm-hmm. to go and say, hey, I know you want to be helped with this. Mm-hmm. This is something that I've seen as a pattern and it's hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention. You know, mm-hmm. you know, I love you, you know, I love you, I'm thankful for you and thankful for your service. But I noticed a pattern of being unloving and mm-hmm. I want to bring that to your attention. Mm-hmm. So, and how somebody responds to that kind of mm-hmm. thing is really telling, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's why we need to do that.
Yeah. It's really good.
Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah. Super good. Patterns/ Matthew 7.
There you go. There you go. My turn. It's we need to be done.
That's fine. Cause I think my third question, actually, I'm looking at it was like the same as the first one.
It's just longer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been Family of Faith, another podcast. Hey, we did it. We kept the energy up.
Do you think so?
Pretty much. I think Yay! We kept the energy up the whole time. So thanks, Seth, for that helpful instruction. Christy, thank you for doing the podcast. Thanks thanks for telling me how to love you better, to love the church better, to love our children better, and that we want to grow in love because He did first love us, mm-hmm. and we testify to His love by our love for one another. So we want to be growing in this love. And if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at pfunches@fbchurch.org or info@fbchurch.org. And I will get back to you as soon as I can. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles,
and information about our ministries.